great to be with everyone again this morning, and that everyone can make it out. Appreciate the good songs and the comments this morning. Tom was speaking about the Lord's Supper, reminded me one of the big difference as we've just passed the Easter holiday, or the Easter observance, as our society celebrates that. The Easter seems to be more of a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. It may be a minor point, but the Lord's Supper is about his broken body and the shedding of his blood, not as much about the resurrection. And so a lot of very good points about the Lord's Supper. Always remember that and its purpose. And it's a blessing to be able to have this a part of our worship to remind us of our Savior and his work here on this earth and what he did and what he suffered for us on our behalf. And so that's great. And in that regard, that we started our service talking about the rock that we are up on. And as we talk about the church, the rock leads to building materials and foundations. And we talk about a foundation that Jesus is the foundation. And we're going to have a slide that kind of shows a graphical depiction of that. But we're going to finish the discussion about edification this morning. We're going to finish the discussion about edification. It is a two-part lesson. And even this week, as I continue to study even more enlightened into God's Word, and I'm sure with time that we'll learn more, but the most of our lesson today is going to be from the Corinthian passage. We're going to, I believe in 1 Corinthians 14, we find what the definition of edification is for the church. Last week, in a quick review, when we talk about the local church and its works, edification is one of the works that the church is commanded. We also know about, and someday in the future, we'll do lessons on the evangelism aspect and on benevolence aspect. But today we're focusing on edification and 1 Corinthians 14. We also set up the premise that the church belongs to Christ. Christ is its head. Christ is the designer and is the architect of the church. It is his. And that's where we go to look to see what the church should do. It's not up to man's opinion and our desires to make the church what we want it to be. It belongs to Christ. We have a purpose, but Christ is the designer and Christ is the architect. And we'll establish that, show that from Scripture as well. We also recognize the authority of Scripture in Mark 7, the idea of when we leave and teach for doctrine, the commandments of men or traditions of men, that is condemned there in Scripture, and we understand that concept, I believe, there. And we talked about the vocabulary, words that we don't use in our lives in this world. We don't use edify and edification. We use build and building. And so to show that concept, I did these two sentences there that we talked about last week. The church is an edifice that needs edification. It's edified by its edifiers. And then to change that to terms we use today, the church is a building that needs building up and is built up by builders. And we've shown from Scripture some of these last week. As we talked about the definition of these words, to actually build as a verb, and a building, the noun aspect of it. We talked about those last week as well. And this is just a quick review from last week's lesson. The building, the church is the local assembly. In Ephesians chapter 2, I believe there's a reference actually to both the universal and local church there, and I've actually, honestly, I've been studying this passage for this lesson as well as I did for the local and universal churches, and I think both are actually mentioned here. And just to clarify for your own purposes here, in verse 19, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. So there's a universal aspect there, I believe, referenced. They're fellow citizens with the saints. But then within this, I believe he also leads into discussion of local church, but talks about being founded upon the apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body fitly joined together to a holy temple to the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And at a very minimum, I would assign verse 22 to the local church aspect of that. And the concepts are certainly important for us as we talked about the church. Also in Ephesians 4, the one body concept, the one body, one faith, one baptism, the oneness that is mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 4. And then the foundation, as Ephesians 2 noted there, are the apostles, prophets, and Jesus. And Paul mentioned in Corinthians that no other foundation can man lay than what he has laid. So there's only one foundation. We also have offices that edify in Ephesians chapter 4. He talks about the Jesus gave prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's divine, it's of Jesus, with the purpose of perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. So there we see our edification come into play here as we talk about the church and its work, the offices Jesus has established for doing the edification. And then to achieve, as the passage here in Ephesians, the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, a complete man that we're not tossed about by doctrine, by various doctrines, and that we're joined together as a whole, as it mentions there in Ephesians 4. We mentioned last week as well as Paul's motivation was to edify. That was his purpose. He was given authority for that. He even gave up his liberty so that edification happened. And in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, we do all things for your edifying. And we see that the apostles were, and we're going to look at this verse again a little bit, but in Acts chapter 6, when the apostles were waiting on tables and the Grecian widows were neglected, they come up and they selected men that could take on the work of caring for the widows and serving tables is the term that is used there, so that the apostles could go about their work, I believe, of edification, spreading the gospel and teaching the gospel, which was their purpose. And so here's a diagram I put together as I thought about the lesson here and how to visualize these things. We have Jesus as the chief cornerstone in Ephesians chapter 2. We have the apostles and prophets, and in First Corinthians 3:10, Paul references as himself being the master builder. So there's a category of people here who Jesus has actually delegated the work to. Jesus is the architect and designer, but who actually did the work? It was the apostles. Apostles and prophets, in particular in New Testament times, men who were inspired of God as prophets were able to speak. And so those were the master builders of this church. Then in Ephesians 4, we have, in addition to apostles and prophets, these that are active today within the church, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are active today in the work of the church and the work of edifying the church. And then we have a collective of the Ephesians. And then also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it mentions the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. The idea of a pillar in the ground of truth is foundational. It supports and the underlying work, that is a term given to the church. And so we see that God has left the gospel. This is one of the big things about evangelism. God has left the gospel in the hands of men. Jesus said he would build his church. He built it through men, through the apostles and prophets. As they revealed God's word to them, they taught people and they instructed people, and then the church was established and built upon those things. Jesus delegating the work to men, and he even indicated that in John 14 through 17 as he taught his disciples about the Comforter coming. Men carried these things out. And God, one of the great principles of the Bible is God has left the gospel in our hands. And we have a few songs that sing and talk about this idea of how we have the ability and opportunity to spread the gospel and do the work. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you're not already open there, we looked a lot in Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 4 as we've established some principles here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe we see, the scripture is going to show us, that edification is happening here in 1 Corinthians 14. And Paul is talking about edification from a negative perspective. In other words, the Corinthians were doing things that they were supposed to be edifying, but they were not. So he was correcting their habits. He was correcting their methods so that when they did these things, they were now productive. They were now edifying. So the context here is some people are using the term now corporate worship. It was their worship service. And verse 23, it says, if the whole church come together in one place, kind of designating some specific teachings for when the whole assembly is gathered together. And so he sets that context there. This is about the collective worship of the Corinthian church. It's about the corporate worship, as some are using the term today. So first thing, prophecy edifies. Verses 1 through 5. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Give priority to prophecy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto all men to edification, and to exhortation, and to comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And so this idea of prophecy, I believe for us today, is the idea of teaching. We should associate those two together. The word has been established, it's been revealed and established and confirmed, been written for us and documented. So for us today, teaching is what builds. There in their day is prophesying, was revealing of the truth. The truth has now been revealed, but we still convey the truth to people, which is what prophecy does. If you convey the truth in an unknown tongue, who can understand it? Who is taught? Nobody is taught. Nobody understands. But prophecy, and I'm going to use the term teaching, is what edifies. Teaching is what builds. We also, one commentator, I like the way he said this, it speaks as to the enlightening and strengthening of the church. That's the edification part of it. It speaks to the enlightening, the conveying knowledge, and the strengthening of the church. And so there's one commentator's comments about that. And I include in this, and the chapter includes these things, and throughout the text of it, it mentions all of these, preaching, reading, even prayer to singing. All of these are assigned to or contribute to edification. Speaking in tongues was used to convey truth, was used to communicate, speaking in a foreign language. And we use the word tongues because that's the way the scripture in King James uses it. Speaking in a foreign language was there to speak to all nationality of hearers. So no matter what background you were, tongues were to communicate to you the truth. That was the edification process, so that you could learn and understand and know the truth. And the idea is we assign and we think about these things. Well, singing, is it edify? How does it edify? Or maybe even prayer. Certainly singing edifies, because we're in Ephesians and Colossians, it says we're speaking to ourselves in songs, hymns, or spiritual songs. That singing is a speech, and a type of speech, and a type of teaching. And certainly, I think it's appropriate to say as well, edification process, and we talk about singing as we talk about prayer, the idea of going to God, recognizing Him as our Creator, worshiping Him in song, there is an aspect of that as well that edifies us in a spiritual nature, not just in a pure analytical knowledge aspect. The church was commanded in 1 Corinthians 14 that all things were to be done for edification. Because that was their failure. Things were not edifying because they weren't understood. In verses 12 through 17, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to edifying of the church. The idea is edifying was supposed to take priority. Therefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may have an interpreter. For if I pray with an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Else, when thou bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he is he understands not what you say? For thou variously givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Why is he not edified? Because he don't understand. Edification is conveying of truth and teaching of truth. And if you're speaking in an unknown tongue or you're in a language that nobody understands, there's no edification that can take place. And then in verse 19, yet in the church or in the assembly, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown language. And in verse 26, again, how is it then, brethren, when you are come together, every one of you has a psalm, you have a doctrine, has a tongue or foreign language, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things, he says, let all things be done unto edifying, the building up, the conveying of knowledge is what he's talking about in this context here. When you're speaking in a foreign language, nobody in the congregation understands you. Nobody's edified but you. If you speak in a known language, if you prophesy in a known language, then there's edification. There is building up and it's building up, I believe, the kind Jesus wants of the church. So they sought to express their spiritual gifts. Everyone was talking over each other and whatnot. It was chaos because they sought, in the Corinthian church, they sought to lift themselves up over other brethren. They was proud, and they using spiritual gifts and who they was baptized by. All these things were done out of impure motives. And Paul is correcting and says, you guys make sure you do this unto edification. They sought to express their own spiritual gifts, their own way. And so it must be understood, as we talked about, and his continues here in verse 29. We continue our reading here. So it must be understood to edify. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the saints. So we see again this idea of teaching and learning. Verse 31, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. So don't be speaking all at the same time, because one guy over here is teaching one thing, and one guy over here is teaching something else, and the people in the middle, they're trying to do it one person at a time so that they may learn, so that they may be edified. The teaching of the edification is a process, a learning process, or a gaining of knowledge. And so we see again that reference there. Paul paints a picture that their services was chaos. Remember how he ends the book, let all things be done and decently in order. And so that's how he ends the verse there in verse 40. And he talks about the confusion. It's just like in a war. And you watched old movies where they use the trumpet to signal the army. And you can imagine on the front line, said, well, is that the signal for retreat or advance? I'm not sure. What did that trumpet say? What was the notes that they played? And that's the idea. You have to understand. Otherwise, you're going. And so, once again, it's about edification, about building up. It's about transferring of knowledge and encouraging one another, the edification process. And then again, the whole idea of us coming together is to provoke one another to good works. And the passage in Hebrews we so frequently reference. That's the purpose of us coming together. Again, I'm emphasizing these points because this is what Paul taught the Corinthians. This chapter talks about what edification is. Lest we think edification, and we're going to talk about some possible misuses of edification here in some more slides in the future. So as we're talking about teaching, we're talking about conveying knowledge. Timothy was given a broad breadth of tools to use. He was taught by Paul to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. All three of those things, with long-suffering and doctrine. There is a wide range of tools in a toolbox of someone who was to speak or teach. And so those things are given. These are the things that build. These are things that edify the church. The idea of teaching love, and this hit me this week as I was studying. Everybody knows 1 Corinthians 13 is about love, right? But it ties right in to 1 Corinthians 14. As we just talked about how they misused spiritual gifts, how they spoke in tongues, and I went back and I read, what's the first verse of chapter 13? Though I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I've become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and I have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Well, this chapter 13 really is the beginning of this discussion about their improper worship. And that just hit me this week as I studied it. They were to speak in love. So not only were they speak with understanding, their first command by Paul was to speak out of love. And they missed that. They missed that. And so we see in this passage, as I read that, that is the same context of chapter 14. It's actually introductory to the context of chapter 14. Teaching and love to edify the assembly is you put both these chapters together. Teach and love to edify the assembly. I think that's a summary of both of those chapters. The Corinthians had good works, but they lacked love, so they did not edify. And I think that's what he's kind of telling them in chapter 13. If you don't have love, it's of no use. And as he introduced that, so teaching is love is important. Even in Ephesians, the two passages we spent so much time in, and here's the Corinthian passage and the Ephesian passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, talking about these gifts that were given to men, you know, the offices in the church. Speak the truth in love, it may grow unto him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. And so we see that tie-in even in the Ephesian passage. And all these things just fit together so well of what edification is. Look at the Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. They define edification for us. And very completely. And so when we talk about, now we've established these things. This is the way the church edifies. This is how to edify. We're talking about priorities now. When we talk about the church, let's talk about priorities because the scripture makes a distinction in priorities of the church. They make a distinction. 1 Corinthians 13, as we just read, teach with an attitude of love edifies. So love is given priority. Teaching that is understood edifies. So teaching with understanding is given priority. But what else? Just the general nature. Jesus even taught that worldly things are not that important for us. We should be focused on spiritual things as an overall concept of life. The spiritual is which needs to be our focus. Even to the point, we'll talk about this, we'll talk about benevolence. Jesus indicated it was more important that he be anointed with oil than to sell it and give it to the poor, as his disciples had challenged him to do. It was more important to anoint him at the time. And so society, and sometimes in the church, we get things mixed up. What should we focus our time on? Food, clothing, or the spiritual? Well, Jesus said the spiritual. He gave priority to the spiritual. And I think that's very much exactly what's happening in Acts 2. The scripture actually states there. Edification was lacking, as was the work of caring for the widows. Both of them were lacking. Notice what happened there in Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Lest we can look at these things, because lest we be confused about what edification is. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. The 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So the problem is there were some widows that were neglected, they were overlooked, they were not being taken care of. And the apostle says, you know what? We need to delegate this to someone else. We should not focus our priority on the physical of the world. We need to focus on our work of spreading the gospel and revealing God's word. And notice what happened. In verse 7, the results of this work, the results of making this change, the results of relieving the apostles of the work of serving tables, the word of God increased. That's our word edification, isn't it? The word of God increased. The number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. The word of God increased. Why did the word of God increase? Because the widows were being fed? No. The word of God increased because the apostles were able to devote more time to spreading the word and not serving the tables, not feeding the widows. Benevolence is not a work of edification. Things that do not edify. The wrong foundation. If we're building on the wrong foundation, we are not accomplishing the work of edification. We're not accomplishing the work of building up that God wants us to do. We must be on the correct foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, 14 through 17, talking about building on the wrong foundation, as Paul talked to him about there. And Ephesians 2, establishing what that foundation is. And there's that slide we looked at earlier. We have to be on the right foundation for edification to be right. And that is of the apostles and prophets and of Jesus. We have to be on these foundations. And that is the inspired word of God. Otherwise, edification does not work. Liberties that offend. And 1 Corinthians 10, 23, Paul was willing to give up liberties to prevent from offending a weak brother. If 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. Comes right out and says, all things do not edify. It may be lawful, but it does not build up. It does not encourage. It does not strengthen at times. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. So sometimes liberties, you know, I dread the day when we, hunting is a liberty. Someday someone may walk in and be greatly offended that we might cause into sin over our hunting. Hunting is a liberty. God didn't promise me that If you and put it in not written in the gospel that we have the right to hunt or any of the liberties we got. Teaching that is not understood is not edifying. Teaching that is not understood is not edifying. Persecutions. Acts 9. We find persecutions of the church. After Saul of Tarsus was converted, the church was built up. Now, I think in some ways we can make a case how persecutions actually strengthened. But in this case, the passage actually, we'll read it for what Paul what said here by Luke. Verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So there's another reference there, edification, and associated with the removal of persecutions by Saul. Of course, all persecutions did not cease, but at that point it did for the moment. Distractions from teaching do not edify. So edification, question mark. Is this edification? Schools and colleges. No, that's not. That doesn't fit the form. That doesn't fit what Paul is talking about. But it's not secular education that edifies the church. It is not wealth management or tax preparation. By the way, tomorrow's tax day. If you haven't got them filed, it's tomorrow's the day. You get the penalty, right? April 15th is today, but tomorrow or Tuesday. Well, don't quote me on that. It's time to do our taxes, or if you haven't already. These are not, so for the church to say, well, it's edifying to come in and bring someone in to help us with our finances, help teach us to better manage our money, to better, to help save our taxes, to help how we spend our money. That's not edification. By Bible definition, that's not edification. Dental and health care, not edification. Entertainment. We may grow in number. They may, like I made this comment, you put a $100 bill under every pew, we'd fill the building up every day, I guarantee. The building would be filled full up. It's not about, these things do not edify the church. What edifies the church, 1 Corinthians 14 and Ephesians. So, given this is a work of the church, and established as a collective group, that they were authorized to do these, not just authorized, they were commanded to do this. We have the authority, as we talk about the authority of the church and what we should and can do, we have authority to spend time and resources to accomplish this design work. There are not, I think we can talk about these. There's expediencies. We don't have to have a building here, but we do. We don't have to have a located preacher. There are congregations that get by without located preachers, but we do. Which implies you get financial support, even having a house for an evangelist would be an expediency. Other methods of providing for needs, those are matters of choice. We can choose these things. These are helpful. I believe very helpful. I've spoke to other people in congregations that didn't want a located preacher. I feel like that limits the work that the church can do. But on the other hand, having a located preacher also sometimes alleviates the work off the congregation, so men don't always get to participate in things they could do. So it's a give and take. That is an expediency. Our study materials. We choose to have some books, which is great. I mean, we could all sing along with Chad. It's good, right? We could put it up on the board. That's an expediency. We get to choose those things. Copy machines, tracks, even for some of us, crayons. I saw Chad writing with a crayon this morning. It was a colored pencil. I saw it. We can do this. It's all, those are expediencies that to accomplish the work that Christ designed for the church. They accomplish the work that Christ designed for the church. Therefore, they are authorized. But what is not authorized is secular education. That does not fall into the pit, to the bucket of edification. Teaching God's message edifies. That is for sure. Singing edifies. Praying edifies. Tax preparation and wealth management and all those other anything you want to put is what builds people up, that makes them stronger, makes them more knowledgeable, but that doesn't fit what they did in the Corinthian church. That doesn't fit the design of the church. Remember, Christ is the designer. It does not fit that design. He authorized a design. He commanded a design, instructed the design, and we need to be following it and not going off our own way. So we see, I reverse the order of my slides now. First of all, Corinthians were to teach with love. They were to teach with understanding. And in both cases, those drive edification. Those drive building up, the type of building up that Jesus wants us to build up. Talking about priorities, even benevolence was not a priority for the apostles. And it was the priority of the apostles was revealing the truth and teaching the truth. And we show that in Scripture. There are things that do not edify. And if it's not in 1 Corinthians 14, we've got to ask ourselves, why are we claiming that to be a work of edification if it's not in the Scripture? And we don't find that there's some things we don't find there that we do see in churches today. And finally, the last point we made about expediencies, that there are things that is our choice to do that may make it better. It may not make it better. Depends on what we desire or how we want to accomplish the work of edification. There are lots of tools that we can use to do that. And so we see, and I hope we see from this, that the church is a divine organization with a divine purpose. And we look at it that way, and that's why we look to the Scripture. Why we look at the book. What did the book say that it takes to make the church? What does the book say about what it is, what it means to be edified and to edify? And I think we see that as we look through our lesson today. If you've not become a member of the church, we invite and always offer the invitation to come and confess Christ and have your sins washed away. If you are a member and you stumble along the way, and in some way you need the prayers of the saints, we also offer an invitation for you. So if you have any needs that you would like to have taken for us to consider this morning, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.